Good evening. Have you ever faced a giant in your life? I would venture to say probably most of us have of some sort. Y'all to pray for me. I need the Lord tonight. I keenly feel responsibility when I stand before you, and I don't take that lightly. But I'm thinking tonight of giants, and I think I mentioned something about this a few Wednesday nights ago. And, you know, my mind's been rolling around of what different types of giants. There's all kinds of giants that we face in our life. We face giants that many times might be our own selves, some of our own tendencies, our own ways of thinking. Sometimes we kind of face a giant of maybe an issue at work or in our home, maybe a family issue or a relationship issue. Giants can come in all shapes and sizes. And even as a child, you know, a giant to a child, to us, we might can look at that and say, boy, I wish my giants were that small. But to a child, a giant is still a giant to them. We can look at other people sometimes and think, that's no giant that you're facing. You just wait until you face a real giant. But the Lord has been working with me a little bit of being able to recognize that, you know what, that giant is just as much of a giant to them as the giants that I think are bigger, the ones that I have. And if we're not careful, we can kind of look at that way and think, well, they just need to deal with that. They can just, you know, that's something they can figure out. They can deal with it. But I think about the story of David, and obviously you can't hardly talk about giants without talking about David, and probably the most famous giant in the world is probably Goliath, I would say. I figure you go look in encyclopedia, there's all kinds of critters and things that are named after Goliath. You got Goliath beetle, you got different things that, and you know when you see that name, it's going to be a really big whatever it is. And that's one of probably the most famous story, I would say, that involves a giant. I know there's others, some children's stories, but I'm not going to read the story for the sake of time, but it's in 1 Samuel 17, chapter 17. But what I would like to think about is David's attitude towards the giant. The giant Goliath came at a time where there was a lot of fear in Israel, because at this time the Spirit of God had left Saul. He had chosen another path. Saul had chose to focus on himself and lift himself up. He was king of Israel. He was the one in charge. And Samuel had told Saul that, you know, this day your kingdom has been removed from you. The Spirit of God had pulled himself back, and Saul was being tormented by we don't really know what all was going through his mind, but I'm sure the devil was taking advantage of Saul. And God had removed his spirit from him. And with that came a lot of fear. Saul, we don't know exactly what was going on, but Saul in that time, kings fought battles. Kings went to war, and they were actually on the battlefield. But Saul, it sounds like to me, when you read the story, that Saul was not in the front. It doesn't sound like Saul was up front leading. It doesn't sound like Saul was up addressing the giant. It doesn't sound like he was the one necessarily that everybody's looking to being in charge at the moment. Everybody was looking at Goliath, and Goliath was in charge at that moment. He was commanding the scene. God's people, the king of God's people, was no longer commanding the scene. It was the giant that was in control. And you look at how David, he walked up. He was supposed to just be delivering some food. I think it was some bread and maybe some cheese or parched corn, I think. And 10 loaves and some parched corn, I think is what it said. Said he was. He took that to his brothers, and his brothers instantly, there you can see that there must have been a little bit of a, maybe a little issue with his brothers, at least his oldest brother, it seems like, or I don't know if it's his oldest, but one of Eliab, I think is his name. He instantly said, well, I know the naughtiness of your heart, which I'm sure that he knew what Samuel had come and done. Well, he had to have, because Samuel was there and had all of them lined up, and he said, it's none of you guys. You got, is there one more? So there may have been some issues, some anger issues, some things of my youngest brother is going to be my king one day. Well, he addressed David and said, what are you doing here? Are you, by the naughtiness of your heart, you're just wanting to come see a battle. That's all you're here for. You just want to see what's going on. But David, he heard what Goliath was saying. It wasn't necessarily that Goliath was there. It wasn't necessarily that the men were scared. I know that was upsetting to David too. But David, who by all accounts, it seems like David was probably a young, at best a young man, but probably more likely an older boy, I guess you would say. He wasn't a grown 30, 40-year-old man. He was young. He was very young, and he walked up and saw these men of war cowering and afraid to fight a battle. Now, I can't say that if I was there, I would have done any different. We really don't know exactly how tall Goliath was because of the kind of disagreement in how big a cubit was for these people, but he was a big, big man. Whatever it was at least about 9 feet, maybe more, but it was a big man, a really big man. And so David saw that and instantly said, "What do y'all not hear what this giant is saying?" He was defying the God of Israel, and David's like, this is not okay. What are y'all doing? Is there, and one of my favorite phrases in the Bible, is there not a cause? Is there not something that we are fighting for? And David had something, a knowledge, because he had mentioned a few Sunday nights ago, he had spent time with the Lord. He had been with the Lord. But I would like tonight, we're talking about David and Goliath, and we look at this and it looks like David had no fear. He walked up and didn't have any fear and just went and fought the giant and was no big deal to him. However, I don't think he would be a human and not have a little bit of, that's a big man out there. However, I know who I serve. I think Paul in his letter to Timothy said, I know whom I believe. I know that he is able to keep. I know whom I believe. I know who I trust in. Whatever happens is going to be the Lord's will, but I'm not afraid to go face the giant because of who I have with me. So tonight I would like to talk about some specific giants. You could say it's two giants, but I don't know if they're ever apart, fear and unbelief. I don't know if you can have one giant without the other. I don't think you can be fearful without a little bit of unbelief. That's maybe my opinion, but it's almost like one of those mythological giants that you've maybe heard of, that the giant that has two heads. They're kind of one thing, fear and unbelief together. But I want to talk about those two giants that we face. And they can come in many different ways. And I'm not talking about fear in the sense that, you know, when you tip your chair back a little too far and you have that brief moment of thinking you're about to die. That, not that kind of fear. I'm talking about the fear that shakes you to the very, do I want to still do this or not? Do I still want to move forward with how I'm living? Am I going to make it through this? Okay. Am I going to be able to fear that I don't know how this is going to turn out? And then you can start dreaming up all these scenarios. When you face these kind of giants that strike true fear in your heart, it can come in the form of, I don't know how we're going to make it through this difficulty financially. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. Maybe I have, I can just tell you, I've had a moment in my life where it was a really, really tough time. And I was afraid, and I was fearful, and I can tell you that I didn't handle it very well. The time that my dad was first, we knew that he had a disease or a sickness that was going to take his life if the Lord didn't intervene, and this was very early on. But at the same time, I was going through a lot at work. I was very unsure. Some things that I really wasn't sure, and it was at a time of when oil was kind of down, and things were very uncertain. I wasn't sure if I was going to have a job. I was going through a lot of different things at work that I really had no clue if I was going to have a job or not. And at the same time, my dad was sick, and we were spending time there, and there's just a lot going on. And I remember those fears of, I don't know what I'm going to do if I lose my job. I have no clue, because I had children, I have a wife, I have responsibilities to try to manage that. I had all these things that was rolling in my mind, and what I didn't do is let God have those fears. I tried to handle it all on my own. And when I started thinking about the giants of fear and unbelief, and I look at how David handled his giant, and I saw how, you can read about it, he said, I know, Saul, I don't need all this armor and all that stuff. The God that was with me when I killed the lion and the bear, that's the same God that I served then. I know whom I believe. He's going to be with me when I go face this Philistine, when I go face this giant. I don't have to be afraid of that. And I'm not discounting fear, and I'm not discounting the natural responses. But there's more to life for us than to harbor those fears and to hold on to those things. I want to read some scriptures. There's some very dear scriptures to me through all that time, and I hope they'll be a help to you. If you have fear in your life, that maybe fear can be crippling. It can bring you to a point where you don't know if you can hear the Lord anymore or not. It can bring you to the point where you don't really make time to pray. Because whenever you have fear, and when there's fear just taking over, when you allow it to just become who you are, that unbelief is a major part of it. That's what I found in my life anyway. When I was being so fearful, I had unbelief to the point that I didn't even pray, because I wasn't actually thinking this. I didn't think this through at the time, but now that I look back, I can see where I was at. I wasn't praying because I wasn't really believing that he was hearing me. And if he did hear me, I wasn't really having the faith or the belief that he was going to do anything about it, because I knew that without some major intervention, an absolute, you want to look at a biblical miracle, my dad was still going to die. My situation at work was not really changing that much. So I was looking at that. I was like, well, what's the point? My unbelief was there as part of the fear. They were right there together and constantly berating me. Fear and unbelief is a giant that, just like Goliath was doing, standing in front of you. They'll stand and they'll follow you and hurl things at you constantly. Well, what about this? What about that? Well, why are you even going to pray? Because the unbelief will chime in and say, well, there's no point in you even praying. And then fear will say, well, if I don't pray, then this is going to happen. It can be a constant barrage in your mind. And there's no rest in it, I can tell you. whenever we allow that to happen. But there's some scriptures that have been so dear to me. One of them is in Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Lord, this is 43 and 1. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Is that not beautiful? That was one of the scriptures that the Lord gave me when I was coming out of that time of fear not. Because he said, the God of Israel, the one that formed you, I have redeemed you. I have called thee by your name. I've called you by, and that goes for each and every one of us individually. I've called you individually by name, and you are mine. And when you pass through those waters, when you pass through those things, they're not going to overflow you, even though it feels like it. What did Jesus say pretty much every time whenever his disciples were fearful? He said, why did you fear? Oh, you of little faith. And he wasn't deriding them when he said it. I know it had to have been with love, because I know that's how he has handled me. Why did you fear? I was right here the whole time. Oh, you of little faith. I'm right here. I don't want you to fear. He said to fear not. Whenever he knew that his disciples were afraid, fear not. Don't be afraid. That was the message that the angels said to the shepherds whenever they were announcing his birth. He said, fear not. Don't be afraid. I know this is maybe a little spectacular, but don't be afraid. Your Savior is here. It's the one who's going to save you from your sins is now here. The Holy One of Israel, the one who's going to call you by name, is going to redeem you by his blood. He said, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, my Savior, and your Savior. He, throughout the scriptures, the Lord admonishes us to, I think it's in Deuteronomy, and maybe Joshua, I think it repeats it, to be strong of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Be aware of what you've been able to accomplish in the past with the Lord on your side. David didn't go to Saul and say, well, let me tell you what, Saul, I'm going to tell you the things that I've accomplished, and I'll just give you my resume. I took a lion by the beard and I smote him. There's a bear and I killed him. And me and my little sling by myself, I'm going to go out there and take care of that Philistine. That's not at all what he said. He said, the Lord that helped me kill those two animals. And that seems pretty spectacular in itself, if you ask me. And it says he took the lion by the beard and smote him. I don't know how that, because the little storybooks show him slinging a rock at the lion, but you go read the scriptures, that's not what it says. He says he took him by the beard and removed the lamb from his mouth, I think, and smote the lion. So David was quite a fella, and he had some faith. It seems like he had fear, the giants of fear and unbelief, already been conquered before he faced a literal physical giant that was trying to hurl insults and things at him to make him afraid. So, there's more scriptures I want to read. Well, we don't have to turn to all of them, but there's some in 2 Timothy about that have not given you the spirit of fear, but of peace and of a sound mind or something like that. But then further down, I think is where that scripture is talking about, I know on whom I believed, 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. And then further down he says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I'm confident, I'm sure, by the things that I've gone through, by the things the Lord has helped me with, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And if you haven't experienced, if you're facing your first giant right now, or you're facing something that you've never seen before that's big to you, I can tell you by my experience that I know on whom I believe, and I'm persuaded and I'm confident that you too can conquer whatever giant that is in front of you. Specifically right now, we're talking about the fear and unbelief. And you read through the scriptures and there's so many examples of God's encouragement to us. And I want to focus a little bit on that verse that says, God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Now, I had not made this connection yet until I started studying this a little bit. But what is God? What's the definition of God that's given in the scriptures? He's love, right? The one, I don't even know where it's at. I think it might be in 1 John, but it says that God is love. He is love. That is one of the definitions that describes who God is. So 1 John 4. Let's see, we're... I think it's going to be 15, verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. There it is. And he that dwelleth in him, in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day, in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. I'd never made that connection. I guess I've never really paid much attention to that. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. God is love. That tells me that it says there is no fear in love, and perfect love casteth out fear. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul was saying that God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then earlier in this chapter, it says, whoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. So I had never really put those two things together, that fear and love don't coexist together. A true love and devotion and commitment to God that casts out fear. Now, that's, don't get me wrong, I haven't conquered fear to once and for all where I never have another fear in my life. But perfect love casteth out fear. The love of my God, my Jesus, and what he did for me, and accepting that he is the Son of God, he died for me, he gave me the power, he is going to continue to help me fight my giants of fear and unbelief, that whenever the devil comes and says, you know, he's not able to do that, or you know, you got this financial thing ahead of you, that there's no way you can overcome that. Well, now I can look at this and say, no, I confess that Jesus is the Son of God. And not only do I confess it, I live it. I aim to, with everything that I have, show my love for God, my perfect endeavor to have a perfect love towards God and towards his people and towards the world. And perfect love casteth out all those fears. That whenever I have a deep, Lord help me to get this the way the Lord gave it to me. When I choose to quit loving all the things, the plans that I have for my future, what did Jesus say? He said, except for a man hate his mother and his father, he has no part in me. And Jesus wasn't literally saying that he wanted us to hate people or hate that. but love it less than how you love the Lord. Love those things. Put all that stuff on the back burner and let Christ be our focus. Let Him be where all of our love and our affection goes. And with that, the Lord's going to help us sort out those fears and the unbelief when they come. Fear is still going to come knocking. At least it does for me. It's going to keep coming knocking, and the giant's going to keep trying to resurrect itself. But like David did with Goliath, whenever time we face that giant, we have to go not just knock it down and be satisfied with that and walk away, but we have to do everything we can to make sure that he's no longer viable or able to get back up. There's one of the Psalms says that he was saying that you teach my hands to war, and basically where he ground his enemy to dust and then let the wind blow that enemy all across the, I can't remember how it's worded, but basically he wanted to grind the enemy to dust. And that's what I want to do with my enemies whenever I'm faced with fear and unbelief, that I'm not content just to barely move past it and say, Lord, I know you. I know that you are bigger than any giant. And you're bigger than all the things that I face. I know you're bigger than all those things, but Lord, I just want to plod through this and get to the other side. No, we can come through with victory and joy and say, Lord, thank you for helping me to conquer that giant. Once again, we're going to be faced with giants over and over in our lives. That's been my experience so far, but he has been so real to me every single time. If I don't give in to that fear, when the devil is hurling the insults and the doubts towards me, if I can just think back on those scriptures that where he said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I am your Savior. I've called you by your name. You are mine. And then you look at the scriptures where Jesus said, fear not, don't be afraid. Why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in me. I want to leave you with this thought. We have to believe that Jesus is who he says that he is. We have to believe that. And then, I don't want to cheapen it, but like David, it becomes simple after that. And don't get me wrong, I'm not cheapening it, because it's easy to say that right now. But if we can truly believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and if we can truly believe that the scripture that says, I have redeemed you, you are mine, who can pluck us out of his hand? No one. It becomes simple, just like David said. It wasn't complicated to David. He said, I know who I serve. Paul said to Timothy, I know who I've served, and I am persuaded that he's going to keep me. So I challenge you that when you're faced with a giant, sure, it's scary. It is, it's scary. But let's do battle like David did, unashamed, and apparently it looked like he was unafraid. I'm sure there was some flesh in him that was a little concerned. I'm sure he didn't want to die, but all appearances was he was willing to, if it took that. Lord, help us that we will be willing to do battle like David did. Be of good courage. He will not fail you. I think that's also in that same scripture in Deuteronomy where it says, be of good courage. I think it further on it says, he will not fail you. He will not let you down. I'm not going to let you down. And I didn't know I was going to say this, but don't let fear and uncertainty keep you from moving out for the Lord. Don't let fear can be paralyzing sometimes. It can paralyze us to say, well, I'm not good enough, or I'm not going to be able to do that. I can't do this, or I'm not able to do that. Don't let fear paralyze you from not doing what the Lord wants you to do. Obviously, don't let your zeal get ahead of you, but don't let fear hold you back either from doing what the Lord has asked you to do. Be willing to say, yes, Lord, be of good courage. He will not fail you. If we could sing that song, I think it's called Bigger Than Any Mountain. Andrew, do you?